You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture. One top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas. Andy and Gerald.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Two Peas. Here we are.
I'm trying different ways of, like...
Here we are, trying to keep it fresh.
The first sound I make on the podcast, I want it to be different every time.
Trying to keep it fresh.
This week, it was...
Trying to keep it fresh.
Lettuce fresh.
And it's always something from, like, the 90s that you do.
Is that from the 90s?
What's up?
Look at this.
So, listen, this is episode 88. Arsenio is making an appearance. Yeah. By the way, they're doing Coming to America, too. Arsenio's about to be back.
We're coming to America.
So that could have been mentioned today had it come out before we recorded this, but it's episode 88. What are we recording today, brother?
Today we are recording. Have you told me yet? I have no idea what we're doing. We're recording the top five movie sequels that we feel are better than the original.
Yes, movie sequels. So not just the second in the series. Yes. This could be any movie released after part one.
But I stuck to seconds.
Did you? I didn't do that.
Because I felt like with sequels, I had to pick number two.
And you know, I didn't tell you either.
You know, first thing in the morning, I've had a bowl of oatmeal. I need a number two.
And they don't watch the movie sequels. All right, well, I didn't do... there are quite a few, to be honest, that are twos on my list, but I do have a couple that are beyond that.
I don't like it.
So, I didn't tell you in advance, but whatever.
Yes.
These are probably still your five favorite sequels, I would imagine.
Yes.
Okay. I'm asking you.
Me, yes, yeah. They are, yes.
Now, what else is special about this episode?
I don't know. What is it?
That's it. Nothing else.
I mean, I'm here.
And that's barely special.
I'm here. So. I'm with you.
Yeah.
There's nothing more special than that.
What's special about it, guys, is this is coming out the first week of November. This is our three-year anniversary for the show, Two Peas.
Wow.
So we started
three
the show.
3 years.
The first show aired November 10th of 2016.
That's a lot of time to talk to you.
So 3 years later,
a lot of time.
We're still going. You know, we had a revamp of the show after about halfway through, about a year and a half.
We did.
You know, you can go back and listen to those episodes, actually. But the first year to year and a half, we did current events.
Yeah, man.
You know, we basically were like...
And then we realized that we really know very, very little about what's going on in the world.
Well, we don't have time to keep up with it.
No,
so, yes. But it was just sad,
I realized,
right?
It was weird because...
It was sad for me.
For that year and a half, I was keeping up with news.
Yeah.
Because you were sending me things. Now I don't anymore.
But that was a downer.
Yeah.
And... Well, let's not get super, super political, but you know, we're both liberal, and when we had the old show, we would talk a lot about how, you know, our views didn't align with Trump's White House.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I've kind of, and I know this sucks, but I've just given up. No, I'm just seriously, like, is it 2020 yet? Like, whatever.
Well, nothing that surprises me anymore.
No, so I just...
Well, it actually never did. I mean, he's who he is.
I'm just like, and people are like, who are you going to vote for? I'm like, whoever's not Trump. Like, I mean, we need a change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's like when the dolphin jumps out of the water. It surprised you the first time, but after a while, like, well, that's just what a dolphin does.
A dolphin jumps out of the water. But anyway, so...
Is that a good analogy?
But, you know, we switched it up about a year and a half ago, and we went to a top five
we
show.
We did!
Which we were doing, and we still are, bonus episodes with friends and guests.
Friends. Well, you do. I don't need anybody.
You've been on a few of
them. I'm in a box. You keep me in a box, and you unlock the box.
You can't open
the box, and then you make me talk to you.
But your schedule's tight, and you can't do nighttime recordings. And that's when we do the majority of those. So I get it.
I get it.
I understand. It's important in life, brother. But anyway, we switched it up about a year and a half, and we've been doing top fives ever since. So we've gained a lot of new fans since we changed the format, so they might not realize that. But this show started really as a direct result from the 2016 election, because that was in November 2016.
Yeah,
and we were talking at work about the results of the election, which were shocking, even if whether you supported it or not, it was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
And we said, why don't we just... I want to do a podcast, I told you. And he said, okay, yeah, because of course you love to talk.
So we
press record. We laid down a few episodes. I bought a few dollars of equipment here.
You did.
And
good equipment.
And we've been doing it for 3 years.
For 3 years.
3 years, brother.
That's crazy.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
We were close already through work and stuff, but we've gotten a lot closer ever since the show started.
Gerald bought me a two peas in a pod on a podcast.
And that's a patron only. That's a patron only.
I have a new coffee mug that's going to go in my collection. That's my anniversary.
And if any patrons are listening, which by the way, I think it's the only people that do listen. If you guys are listening, you will be receiving a mug like the one Andy was just discussing.
It's a nice mug.
Which is supposed to be a surprise.
It's a nice
mug. Actually will be a surprise, but by the time this airs, I'll probably
Gerald,
have it.
You have a nice mug.
Thank you.
You have a nice mug.
One of my favorite jokes, by the way, is my wife's carrying milk, and we come home from the grocery store, and I say, hey, nice jokes. Every time.
It works
she
on so many.
Never laughs
no,
at
she
it.
Does.
Never. Not one time has she smiled when I said it. All right, so what are we talking about?
We're talking about
movie sequels. So anyway, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I love you. Thanks for sticking around for 3 years.
Brother, it's good to be
3
here.
3 years. You know, this is episode 88, and we've done roughly 50-ish of bonus episodes.
Wow.
So we're in there, man, like 130 something episodes.
We're in there like swimwear.
We are in there like swimwear. It's like my dad used to say, am I right or am I right?
That's cool. Am I right?
All right, so top five movie sequels. Right. So talk to me a little bit about compiling your list here, Andy. Was this easy for you? Because you said this was easier than
yes,
we did
this
a couple.
Very easy.
We did a couple lists in the same
week.
Well,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I think I'll see 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, it's 5. I'm going to give you a little hint. All of my sequels come out of trilogies. All of them.
Yeah.
All of them come out of trilogies. That some are more than trilogies now. But they also...
So you stuck
the hardest thing about me was I love trilogies. I love them. And I often consider them, especially with some of these I'll mention later, I consider them one long movie. I never watch one movie of a trilogy. I always start watching and just watch the whole thing, at a little bit at a time. So I had to rethink... How do I feel about the second installment? How do I because I did the seconds. I did the sequels.
Right.
How do I feel about the second compared to the first? Did it take it up a notch? Did it take the central themes and deepen them? It was fun.
Yeah.
But very easy. Like, I came up with mine very, very
quickly.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. Mine was a little bit more... There were two movies that just came to mind immediately. That was just like, not only are they some of my favorite sequels of all time, some of my favorite movies of all time. If I did, in fact, one of them is on my top 10 movies of all time. I did that for another show last year, and it was on there. So that one's going to be mentioned. And then what I also, I don't know if you realize this when you did, don't give it away any titles, but what I realize is that a lot of great sequels, like follow-ups to the originals, are superhero in nature. Did you notice that? Like comic book themed. There's a lot of great sequels that follow up what introduced us to, you know, X superhero.
Oh my goodness. I just realized I don't have any.
And you don't have any.
I don't have any superhero.
Now that's
movies.
Funny. So I tried to limit myself. So I've got two quote unquote superhero
that one was really
movies.
Good. Wow, I didn't even think of those.
In my top five, I've got two. But in my top 10, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of my 10 would be considered comic book related.
I think one right away that I just loved.
Yeah.
But it'll be an honorable mention. But I didn't use any superhero movies.
It was tough for me. We got a lot of shout outs online from some that I did want to include, but I only included ones that I personally would choose to watch over the original.
Yeah.
Is that how you went
if the original
and the sequel, this
I never watch sequels by themselves, ever, or thirds.
Well, now
always,
you do, right?
No,
because you've seen them in succession already.
Yes, but no, I always go back and watch them in succession.
All right, I don't want to give away any titles, so that's interesting. I'm going to bring that up later.
I always watch them in succession.
I'm going to bring
that
up later.
Like I said, all mine come out with multiples, and I can never... I could think of a few movies that I would watch over again that I wouldn't watch the original, but they don't, like, the ones I chose are bound in a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I chose movies that are bound in a sequence, and I always watch them in that sequence.
Okay.
Oh, except for one maybe that I don't think I'll ever, one maybe, but the other ones I'd like, the couple of them, like, 4 of my 5, I will never watch out of sequence, ever.
Interesting.
Ever. Okay. Ever.
Okay. Well, I'll take it. All right. So you ready, man? We're going to do our top 5 movie sequels, guys.
But I'm ready.
You know, this is our 3-year show, and I was talking about the old show that we did the first half of that 3 years. This is kind of our sequel.
Aw.
So I didn't even do that on purpose.
He's a big guy.
Well, I should have done tearjerkers.
Who's my big guy?
I should have done tearjerkers for this one because we already did it.
Who's my big guy?
Who's my guy?
Who's my big guy?
Look at me. You're a pro. Look at me. Pro.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And here we going.
All right. So you want to go first? You want me to go first? I think you went
first
last time.
In our last recording, I went first.
All right, so I'll go first. Actually, I'm glad I'm going first because this is going to get a rise out of you.
Is it? Is it?
I'm going to start things off.
I'm sitting down now, but I could not be in the
middle. Now, I just want to tell you that I had another movie on my list that I am almost certain that you'll be discussing, especially since you told me you only stuck with part twos.
Yes.
I could be wrong, but I'd be surprised if you don't mention the one that I'm talking about later. However, for my number five, I went in a different direction. I'm going to explain myself.
Okay, explain yourself.
All right, you ready? So my number five, I decided to go with Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Interesting.
Is my number five. Do you need me to tell you why I decided on this against another possibly popular pick? So
because of what it did in comparison to episode 3, because they came out with the original trilogy, they came out with episodes 1, 2, and 3, right. And this episode follows 3, and the originals, what we call the prequels, had a certain vibe to them. They weren't popular amongst a lot of fans, right. But Force Awakens took that to a different level.
Yeah, you know.
This is what can be done with Star Wars.
That's pretty much it. I mean, because the original trilogy, which are you going to get into later? Okay. So I won't get too deep into a specific film from the original trilogy, but the original trilogy, like a lot of people that grew up in the 80s, I loved it. Yeah. I mean, especially as a kid, the nostalgia. Now, you know, we've talked about it in the past, and other guests on the show have talked about how, you know, it's obviously a movie from the early 80s is not as aesthetically pleasing as a movie from today, just because the effects are different.
Oh, yeah. Much different.
Much more boundless in what they can do. You know,
but because of that, storylines often fail.
Right.
Because I agree with you.
So, and that's cool because the storyline from Lucas and from Star Wars is just, I mean, it's an epic.
Yes. The world. It's the world. I mean, that's what Star Wars is all about. It's the world. It's the universe.
You know, in a month from now, we're going to be getting episode 9, which is supposedly the end.
And I cannot wait.
We were talking about that trailer with Rey at the end. It's just a fascinating lore.
It is.
That was created.
Ooh, that's a good word.
Created from ground zero. And just now it just is synonymous in everybody's mind, including my 5-year-old, to people our age.
It's a phenomenon.
My folks, it's just like a part of our
world. Arguably the largest cinematic phenomenon in history.
So what episode 7 did, Force Awakens,
is
that as a fan of those movies in the 80s,
I
wasn't as impressed.
Yeah.
As a moviegoer with the prequels.
Okay.
So Return of the Jedi came out, 85, 87, something like that?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think 85 or 84. So we're talking, The Force Awakens was 2015.
Yes.
So we're talking
So when did the prequels come out, though? The prequels came out like
90s, early 2000s.
Okay, yeah.
But what I'm saying is 30 years has passed since I had been pleased as a Star Wars viewer.
Interesting. Got it.
Or impressed by a Star Wars story.
Because Return of Jedi, amazing. Yeah,
but I saw that in the 80s. Do you see what I mean? So here we go. Force Awakens comes out. And finally, I'm like, holy shit, this is impressing me.
Fan candy.
And it's a Star Wars movie.
I call it fan candy.
And this was
a great movie.
And this was really A New Hope, right?
And it's...
it's very similar.
The great thing about what J.J. Abrams can do, and some fans, some deeper fans don't really like it because he does this. One thing J.J. Abrams is just amazing at, and I think what's great with bringing him after The Last Jedi, which got so much backlash, is he's so great at giving you, one, what you want, and two, what you never thought you wanted. Mm-hmm. He's good at making movies that everyone likes.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so good at giving you those kind of callbacks. And I mean, he did it with Star Trek. So I think Force Awakens is what he said is, look what we can do with Star Wars now.
Yeah.
And it reinvigorated the entire universe. Now, I love The Last Jedi because it gives you so much to think about.
Right.
But I think you're right. Force Awakens is a great choice.
Yeah.
Great
choice. I know you prefer Last Jedi, at least between these two. But
gives you so much more to think about.
The Force Awakens was just such an impactful sequel to what we're talking about today for me, because it was the first time in literally 30 years that I was like, this is impressing me.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this.
Adam Driver being introduced. Like, the Force is back. The Force is back.
And that's what you were saying, that they did that for fans. And
yes.
I was in that boat.
We're back.
I mean, even seeing that trailer a few months before it came out, I can remember how I felt seeing that trailer. Like, holy shit, bro. Like, this.
From the first teaser,
please don't let me down, dude. Like, you know, because the prequels, I mean, they have their good. You know, I think I named one of the scenes from them when we did our Star Wars scenes.
Yeah.
So they have their good parts, and Yoda was great, and Anakin's kind of arc is great. The storytelling is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But for a 2-hour piece of work in the theater, I wasn't quote, I wasn't sitting there going, wow, this is amazing. But when I saw The Force Awakens, I was.
Yeah.
And even the trailer got me ready for that. Nice. So it was the first time Star Wars brought me back in with that one.
Bam!
And ever since then, everything they put out since The Force Awakens, yes, I think is awesome. Including Rogue One.
And now George Lucas can rest at night because Gerald's back.
Gerald's He's back finally going to be
is
able
Gerald
to,
on board?
Hey, he can finally cash those checks, brother.
Yeah, Gerald's on board. Finally. Thank you, JJ. Gerald's on board.
So I thought people might be surprised.
Yeah.
I left off, and I'm not even kidding, and this is a consensus thing, one of the greatest sequels of all time, just so that I could specifically talk about how I felt seeing The Force Awakens in 2015.
It's personal,
it brought me back as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It made me love the franchise again, and here we are.
Bam.
So, all right, man, that's my number five, The Force Awakens. Ooh. What's your number five, man?
My number five, okay, I'm in love. This is kind of a dirty little pleasure of mine.
What?
I love the American Pie
what
trilogy.
Episode?
The American Pie trilogy is one of my favorites.
All
in
right,
fact,
sure.
I love trilogies, and I'm bound by trilogies, but even the fourth one, when it came back with American Reunion,
sure,
I love that one as well. So American Pie 2
there
is my
go.
Number five. Here's what American Pie did. It gave us this dirty, outlandish high school humor from my age group.
Yep.
It came up with this thing that was hilarious from beginning to end because they showed you what high schoolers were doing, getting drunk and pissing off the railings and doing, I mean, just like trying to get laid. They went all the way out there and it was wonderful.
Yep.
They took it to the extremes. American Pie 2, which is what I think good sequels often do, mm-hmm, is they took it even further.
Yeah.
Now we're at the beach for the summer. You know, Jim is one of the greatest characters in the film because he often
great.
Does these stupid things.
Great.
And the second one, okay, what you're going to do is he's going to get glued to himself and to the porno videotape he's watching and find a way out of that.
Right.
So the way they took it up a notch, Stifler was even crazier.
So,
you know, Finch with being in love with Stifler's mom.
Yeah.
Like they took it all up a notch. Plus, it was very real because in the first one, they're in the last year of high school. This is about the summer after the first year of college when you come back home
right.
and nothing's the same.
Right. You've all moved
so
on
I just
to different
think,
avenues.
So each of my picks will have a different, you know, taking it up a notch. This took the insanity and the funny up a different level.
Well, the only great, I love it. I love the trilogy. I love the franchise. Stifler. One of the greatest
Stifler
movie characters.
Yeah, he's just wonderful.
I mean, he doesn't play well in 2019, but he's hilarious.
Oh,
I mean, he's awesome.
We never said that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I will do anything to sleep with you chicks, okay? I'll grab every guy's ass in this room. I'll caress it even. I'll shave some ass if they need it. Oh, yeah, you heard me. It's true. I'll kiss everybody here. Dudes, chicks, everybody. Because I am comfortable with my sexuality. Oh, yeah. At least have a drink with the Stiffmeister.
All right. That's fair.
All right.
Why I would somewhat disagree with you is because I think the original is a freaking all-time classic. I mean, one of my favorite comedies ever.
Quote, classic's a good word for it.
I just think
they get better and better.
And I get it. And
I think two's better than one. I think three's better than two.
I get it.
I just think they get better and better.
And I respect that opinion. I just try to pick ones that I would only think are better than the first one. And to me, the first American Pie is the best one.
I can understand why you think that, but I disagree. I think they get
also
better.
Also love Eugene
and
Levy
better
in the
better.
Series.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Oh, God, so good, man.
But they just get I just think each one gets better. Each one gets better.
I like
American
it. And
Pie
you
2.
And you named that movie on our top 5 summer movies as well.
Yeah, American
That's
Pie
a good
2.
Pick, man. Good pick. All right, so my number
Gerald,
4.
Number 4.
My number 4 is a movie that you may not have seen because
Ooh.
I know you're not a horror person.
I'm not a horror person.
I know you're going to be very
good. I have been spending time with you for 3 years now. This is all the horror I can take. Every time you open the door, oh my God.
My number 4 is me. My twilight of my life is my number 4. All right, so I know you're obviously very familiar with the franchise.
I am, just
because everybody is.
Everyone is.
But my number 4 is Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
The Dream Warriors. Tell me about this.
Is my number 4. Have you seen any of the Freddy movies?
No.
Really?
Not one.
Not even the first one with Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp's in the first one?
Yeah, that's like one of his first movie roles.
Get out of town.
Yeah, it was very young
Go,
Johnny
leave.
Depp. All right, I'll see you. Okay, so Freddy Krueger, man. All right, I'm going to try not to fanboy here too hard.
Iconic.
But I am
iconic. Jason, Freddy, and
Michael
your Halloween
Myers.
Guy.
Michael
Those
Myers.
Are three characters. That's it.
That's it, man. That's the Halloween guys. Now, you know, I am a Michael Myers fan. If I was picking like horror icons, Michael Myers is my number one.
Yeah.
He just is. But what Wes Craven did with Dream Warriors, which was the third in the succession, I want to say there were seven of them eventually, if you count New Nightmare.
Okay.
So the third installment. Okay, so the first Nightmare on Elm Street, it came out in 1984. Nobody knew like what was going on. Nobody obviously knew who Freddy Krueger was yet because he was just being introduced. We had had the Jason franchise. We'd had the Michael Myers
franchise.
Oh, Jason
was before that.
Yeah. Jason and Michael came along in 78. Jason, I want to say, was 81, I want to say. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it was early 80s. So in 84, when Freddy Krueger was created by Wes Craven, who is a horror, just known as one of the greatest horror minds ever, people were like, okay, we've got two really just pop culture, just they are the horror people.
But Freddy was something different.
And what they did with Freddy is they did create something different because Michael Myers and Jason were just stalkers.
Yeah, that's
they walked around.
And that's the thing. It's like you couldn't stop them. They were just like a train coming after you.
They were like superhuman, but they were on Earth.
Yeah.
And they were just walking around stalking people. They never talked. They still don't after 20-something movies. They don't talk. They wear the mask, you know what I mean, to cover their actual face. And Freddy was funny. He was a funny guy.
And he was in your mind.
He was in your dreams.
Yes.
He was in your dreams. He would talk to you. He would get to know you. He would try to make you feel comfortable. He would joke around with you. And then guess what? I've got knives for fingers and I'm going to fuck you up. Before you wake up, you're dead. I'm going to kill you in your dreams. And this is a concept that if you think about it, I mean, obviously nightmares have existed for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years would be considered
a nightmare.
Probably longer than
thousands of years, yeah.
Nightmares. So. Dreams have existed for hundreds of years.
Sleep has existed for 10 years. What? I'm not very good with history. But anyway, it's been around for a long time.
Freddy.
So what this concept did is it took the concept of a nightmare, and what if it was more than that? What if it really did do physical damage to you?
Because that's what happens, right? You wake up and you're like...
Well, if you die, if Freddy kills you in your dreams, you die. And some people think if you die in your dreams, you die.
Interesting.
You know, that's like a stigma or whatever. Mm-hmm. People are afraid of that. But Dream Warriors 3, or Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, was just a... the kids come back together from the original to defeat Freddy. And it is a...
So the kids survived the original?
It was one of them did, Nancy. Mm-hmm. And then some other people that were connected. Of course, kids died in the first one. But there were some that didn't come back for Dream Warriors. They're in the psychiatric hospital. Nobody believes them, of course. Oh, somebody's trying to kill you in your dreams. Let me put you in a straitjacket. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's kind of the buildup of Dream Warriors 3. So the majority of it's in a children's psychiatry ward or whatever. And there's a lot of great kill scenes in Dream Warriors 3, man. There's a scene where this girl is in the kind of like lounge area and she's watching TV. It's like Johnny Carson or something like that. Yeah. The Tonight Show. And she keeps kind of dozing off, you know. And she's like, I got to stay awake because, you know, she's one of the ones that's been tortured by Freddy.
Yeah.
Of course, she ends up falling asleep on the couch there. And when she kind of, you think she kind of wakes back up and Johnny Carson turns into Freddy. And Freddy's on the TV, like doing the talk show. She's like watching it going, what? So she gets up to like change the channel and Freddy's arms come out of the TV and grab her by the head and smash her face into the television. And then the nurses come in and find her like hanging from the TV with a face first into the television screen.
This is it, Jennifer. Your big break in TV. Welcome to prime time, bitch.
So there's a lot of great, like, horror imagery, and these are practical effects.
Yeah.
You have to remember, too, this is the mid-80s.
Yeah.
So it's not like they had a shit ton of special effects, like computer-generated to do, like they can in horror movies today. So Freddy Krueger is just an iconic image. He was a different kind of horror villain.
Yeah.
And he is live, man. I mean, he is just, he's still there, man. He's still doing it every Halloween. I love Freddy. I love Nightmare on Elm Street. And Dream Warriors, in my opinion. You could also maybe throw New Nightmare in there, which I want to say was like the sixth installment.
Okay.
Wes Craven is just a horror master, and this is one of the best horror sequels ever, if not the best horror sequel ever.
Did they do a crossover with Jason and Freddy?
They did, Jason versus Freddy.
How was that?
It was good. Well, for me. I mean, if you're walking in and you don't know, you'll be like, what the this is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, if you like horror and you like Jason and Freddy, it was, I mean, it's like having
them fight each other?
They do at the end, yeah. At the camp, the lake where Jason became
drowned.
Famous, yeah.
Fascinating.
They have a throwdown there. So there you go, man. So that's my number four.
Wow.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. I know you're not a horror guy. I figured you didn't see that, but I would have thought you would have seen the original at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I challenge you to watch it this Halloween season.
Yeah.
You should. The original.
Maybe I will.
It's good,
with
man.
You.
It's good. You can watch it with me. I watch it every year.
The original.
The original, yeah, at Halloween time. It's great, man.
I don't love the horror movies, but I know, I think, you know, but it's Freddy Krueger, man. I might have nightmares and die in my nightmares.
That's true. You could do that. Don't do that. Okay. It's Freddy Krueger, man. I mean, that's what do you got to do? You got to watch it. Okay. You've seen the original Halloween, right? From 78? Michael Myers? Okay, we need to talk. We'll talk after the episode.
I haven't seen any Halloweens. Right. I haven't seen any Jason movies or Freddy. I don't watch these movies.
I know, but some of these originals you got to see. I'm going to bring you around to that. All right, what's your, what are we up to? Your number four, right?
Number four. Now, number four is one of those movies where you see the original and you're like, man, this is so amazing. They can't do any better than this. Like how could you make this something different? My number four is Toy Story 2. Wow. I think Toy Story 2.
Oh, you said you stuck to part two.
So. Yeah, so here Toy Story 1 comes out, and it's just iconic because it's the first, I think it's the first Pixar movie they made.
Yeah, in the theaters.
I've actually seen some of the behind the scenes, how long it took them to do this. It comes out, it blows your freaking mind.
Yeah.
Toy Story, like,
never seen it before.
This is a new level of storytelling. Right. This is a new level of animation. Right. This is the first completely computer generated movie. And then Toy Story 2 comes out, and you're like, that was even better. I can't believe they did it again.
Right.
Because now Buzz's characters has evolved. It's about Woody getting lost by a toy collector who comes to find him. He finds the rest of the Roundup gang, and they all go and search and try to find him. So it just takes that original story, and I call this the blow my mind choice. I couldn't believe they could do it better, but they did. Toy Story 2 is, I believe, twice as good as the first one.
Well, now that you've named it,
bam.
Now that you've named it, I know it won't be on your list, but on my honorable mentions is Toy Story 3.
Yes. I thought Toy Story 3 was good. I think 2 is my favorite.
You said you stuck to part 2, so that makes sense. But for me, Toy Story 3, and including 4, which I've seen recently, Toy Story 3 was the best, like, movie, you know, the best story.
It was good.
The best story out of the four.
Yeah.
The first one, I've always just thought of. In fact, I want to say when we had our friend Lauren on, I want to say I had that as my number one Disney movie.
It's a classic.
But it's just because, not so much because of the story or whatever, but just because it's so impactful.
Groundbreaking.
For the rest
of
time. I mean, it's like everything that came afterwards owes a debt of gratitude to it.
Absolutely.
But Toy Story 3 made my top 10. It made my initial list. We thought it was the end of the trilogy, which was just one of the best trilogies of all time. We talked a little bit about it during our Tearjerkers episode about the scene with they thought they were all going to die together, and how that was a very like existential, like
deep
thing to be. I mean, it's a kids' movie.
Yeah,
I mean, 5-year olds are seeing it. And they're
dying. Wow, if we're going to die, we're going to die together.
So it kind of in a roundabout way was able to kind of help kids kind of talk about death a little bit in a roundabout way.
But 2 is still my favorite. I think 2
2's good.
Just did it, man. Just did it for me.
I mean, 2's good.
Toy Story 2.
2's got the scene in it where Jesse reflects on her owner.
Yes.
And that scene or the song, When You Loved Me or whatever, that's deep, bro.
Yeah.
That gets me.
It's about getting old.
Every
single
time.
It begins. You know, Woody is always Andy's favorite toy, and then Buzz comes along. The first one's about, you know, the new toy coming in. But then in the very beginning of Toy Story 2, Woody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He gets top shelfed.
Right.
So it's also about the mortality of a toy.
Yep.
And then he gets taken by a collector, and the idea is, okay, do you want to live in perfection and never get hurt again? Because that's what they're going to be putting a museum together.
Right.
Or do you want to be played with?
Right. Right.
That's what I love about it. It deals with that. Okay, I can live. I can go off. We're gonna be like the architect.
Big Al.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, the guy comes in and fixes him.
Oh, right.
He repaints him. He cleans him up. He sews his arm back. So he makes him perfect again. And the idea is, do you want to live perfectly, or do you want to be what you were designed for, making a child happy, even if it doesn't last?
Right.
So I just think it. Toy Story 1 was very one-dimensional. It didn't deal with a lot of those deep themes. Toy Story 2, it added all those themes to it. And that's what I like about it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, Toy Story 2.
Good pick, brother. I mean, obviously.
That's my four, homie.
Obviously, you and anyone listening to this show knows that I'm a Toy Story fanatic and just Disney, Pixar in general. So I love the pick, man. So that's your number four.
That's my number four.
All right, my number three.
Gerald's three.
My number three. We're talking about superhero movies at the start of the show.
Make it happen.
And we were also just talking about horror at number four with my Freddy movie. So my number three is what I would consider, and I've talked about this before, the only like kind of horror/superhero movie, and it's Spider-Man 2.
That's an honorable mention for me.
From 2004.
That's such a good movie.
It is. It is one of the best, what would be considered superhero sequels of all time.
Yeah, I would agree.
Obviously, I'm putting it on my list here. And I did leave some superhero movies off to be able to name this one.
Spider-Man 2 is Doc Ock. I mean, it's just amazing.
Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. Tobey Maguire is still my favorite cinematic Spider-Man.
He does a great job.
I do.
And the first one, Spider-Man 1, was really good.
It was good, yeah.
It was really
good. It was good. The trilogy I thought was great because I'm a Spider-Man
freak. I didn't like the third one. And I just
Nobody did. No but way. I was okay with it.
It's just too much.
Nobody did, but yeah. I was okay with it. I mean, yeah, I liked it. I mean, it was definitely the weaker of the three.
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed the trilogy as a whole. Spider-Man 2 was my favorite.
2 is just amazing.
I mean, you know, Alfred Molina, just a villain, just the best villain as Doc Ock. It's done by Sam Raimi, who was a horror director who did the Evil Dead series.
Really?
And he did 1 and 2, and you can kind of see the elements of horror that are mixed into this movie with the tentacles.
Yes.
And you remember when the tentacles attack all the doctors and stuff?
Yes.
In the operating room. And yes. Sam Raimi's got this really cool style of filmmaking where he'll do a close-up of the tentacle,
yeah.
and then he'll just cut edit to the close-up of like Doc Ock's face,
yeah.
and then he'll do a cut close to Tobey Maguire's face. It's a very like Evil Dead
yes.
kind of, I know you probably haven't seen it, but the Evil Dead series mm-hmm. is like that. Sam Raimi's that type of director where he does a lot of like jump cuts
yeah.
to close-ups and stuff.
And, then,
and that's yeah. in Spider-Man 2. And you got to imagine me as a horror fan and loving Evil Dead
yeah.
and seeing this going, this is Evil Dead with Spider-Man. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was a lot of like brutal yeah. stuff in this movie that frankly scary. I mean, there's a yeah. lot of like dark imagery.
I like the idea. I like the Doc Ock where he designed these tentacles to serve him. And he's trying to serve humanity. He's a good guy. But he installs a chip on the back of the tentacle
right.
to make sure that he always
like a
stays
safety
in control.
Thing,
what
right.
happens is it overloads and now the tentacles are controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a kind of a psychological relationship between his mind and the artificial intelligence of the tentacles.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. He becomes the octopus. So
yeah.
it's really cool to see Dr. Octopus's or Dr. Octavius's relationship mm-hmm. to what he created.
What'd you think about the Doc Ock in the Spider-Verse, the new one, the lady?
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's kind of one-dimensional. I didn't think too much of her. She just seemed like a quote, bad
I thought
guy.
It was cool that yeah. they made her female because yeah. I didn't see it coming until they said her name and I was yeah. like, oh, she's going to be Doc Ock.
Yeah. I liked it.
Because I want to say her last name was Octavius.
Yeah. I liked two. the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for the entirety of it. The specific villains, because they were coming in and out of different zones, and I didn't really get into those characters very much.
Right, no, yeah. I hear you. They didn't do a lot of character
yeah,
development.
I didn't think it was a very character-driven movie.
All right.
I liked it a lot, though.
Cool, man. So you're up for your number three, buddy.
Okay.
What do you got over there?
My number three. Now, this is one of my favorite trilogies of all time, and I just love this whole thing. This is one of the ones I have to watch in its entirety, and I think, if I can remember correctly, this was the very first time I saw the first in the theater, and I was stoked when I heard the second was coming out. This is the first time in my life I was like, oh my gosh, they're coming out with another one. And then I watched it. I was like, bam, you sold me. And I can't wait for the third one. I'm talking about Back to the Future Part 2. Nice. Back to the Future Part 1 was such an iconic movie.
This isn't better than the first,
yes,
though.
Oh, yes, it is.
You think so?
I think it is even better.
Oh, man.
They take the original theme. Now, the first one's a classic. The first one's a classic.
Yeah.
But they take those original themes. It's also the first time where they film the second and third one together, I believe. So the second and third one become like one large movie.
Right.
So
it's a great trilogy.
I almost take the second and third one together as one movie. But they take those elements of time and what you can do with time travel, and they take it up a notch. Well, now they're even going back to the original. The filmmaking is great. They go back to the original, and now you have another Michael J. Fox there infiltrating, trying to figure out how to get that DeLorean back, and it's just so good. It's just so good the way they...
I mean, I love it, but you're never going to get me to say that it's better than the original.
And also,
I mean the original is one of my all-time
with
favorites.
With the timelines, and they create a separate timeline. He has to go back and try to recreate the timeline.
Right.
It's just wonderful, and Doc ends up in the Wild West at the end, and I just love how you have the first one, and this took the first one and inserted them back into it. You know, you had that iconic scene where, you know, Doc Brown is dancing because he sent him back to the future.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Michael J. Fox comes running back around the corner.
Right,
and
right.
He goes, well,
right.
I just sent you back to the future, but you need to send me back to the future.
Back to the future, right, right.
So I just think they just do such a good job. Like I said, this is nostalgia for me because I almost like 1, 2, and 3 equally because I consider it like one big thing. But the second one was the very first time I was excited for a sequel, and I saw it in the theater and thought they did it.
I'll grab the Atrocity Channel.
Hydrate level 4, please.
Ooh. Is it ready?
Here you go.
Oh boy, Mom. You sure can hydrate a pizza. No, I'm sorry, I missed that whole thing.
Al, I'm just worried about Jennifer. Why isn't she home yet?
I'm not sure where Jennifer is, Mom. She should have been home hours ago. I'm having a hard time keeping track of these days.
Fruit, please. Thank you.
Aren't you and Jennifer getting along?
Oh, yeah, great, Mom. We're more like a couple of teenagers, you know?
Dad, telephone, it's Needles.
Dad, it's for you.
All right, well, take down the den.
They did it. Well, I get it. I just, again, I only picked ones that I thought would be considered better than the original. And I just, Back to the Future, the first one, man, it was just, it came out in 1985. I was 10 years old. I probably saw it when I was 11. It's just remained one of my favorite movies of all time. I want to say it was on my top 10 of all time.
Back to the Future's the original. Great. It's great.
I just, you can't beat it, man. Yeah. I know you're disagreeing with me, but in my opinion, you can't beat it.
And I, like I said, because I consider it all one trilogy, I guess it doesn't matter to me which one's better, honestly.
Yeah.
But I just, as far as great sequels are concerned, this is top number three for me.
Well, if somebody puts Back to the Future a Blu-ray and Back to the Future 2 a Blu-ray, and they say you got 2 hours, you can only watch one of them.
Well, I have to start with the first one because it's in my head.
I know, you're like that.
But honestly, I would never watch just the first Back to the Future. Never. Oh. I'd always watch the trilogy.
What, are you kidding me?
I'd always watch the trilogy.
I watch that like 4 or 5 times a year by myself, bro.
It's a trilogy. It's a trilogy,
homie. I mean, it is, but...
It's a story. I want the whole story.
All right, well, agree to disagree, my love.
Are we,
but I think the first one's just untouchable.
The first one's great.
Yeah.
The first one's wonderful. Okay. It's wonderful.
You like Biff with the sports almanac and all that.
Oh,
that's funny.
Sports almanac. That's funny.
It's good stuff. Biff.
Yeah. And old Biff.
We named it our movie villains.
Old Biff.
Biffs. All right. Okay. So what are we up to? My runner up?
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're
My number two. All right. So my runner up is a movie that I'm assuming you've seen, but perhaps not. It's from 1991. It's Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Oh, great choice.
Number two.
That is a great. Dude, I didn't even think about that one. Dude, that's a great choice.
Yeah. I love that movie.
That's a great choice.
So James Cameron, I mean, come on, dude. Guns N' Roses doing the soundtrack. You Could Be Mine. The drum, just the heavy drums coming in. And, you know, I love the first Terminator. In the 80s.
First one's great.
In the 80s, I love the first Terminator, but Terminator 2 was almost like just, it just like was like, it was like Terminator plus, you know,
it
just leveled up big time.
You still had the original character. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger, but now they've reprogrammed it to be good. So you get even more of him.
Right.
Plus you have this new character, Terminator, kind of, liquid metal.
Right. And it kind of, you know,
I'm an outdated model. That's what he said. I'm an outdated model.
Huh? It kind of, you know, flips it on his head a little bit where, and this was in the early 90s too, so there was not a spoiler culture yet.
Yeah.
And it kind of flips it on its head a little bit where he was the villain and now you're like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be pulling for this guy?
And it comes in. It comes
in.
He's
a hero
now? Because there's this great part where the mom who's in the first one, who's now the mom in the second one, the lady, she's looking at him.
About Linda Hamilton.
She just spent so much time being chased by this guy, and now she's watching him, and now she thinks it's odd, like, this Terminator who would have stopped at nothing to kill me, now he'll stop at nothing to protect my son.
Right.
Because he's programmed.
Right, and as a viewer, you feel that way too.
He's like the ultimate.
You're like,
she even compares him to a father. Like, he will stop at nothing. He will die for this kid.
Right.
He's a hero now.
In the first one, he's the villain basically trying to kill her. And then in the sequel, he's trying to protect her. He's a hero. So, and it has kind of an emotional ending.
There's one chip left to destroy. When he taps his head, there's one chip.
Edward Furlong. Yeah. Edward Furlong, the kid in it. Oh. There's a great chase scene in it with the 18-wheeler and the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
In the valley way or whatever. It's just awesome, man. So much action. You know, the first Terminator was great for the sci-fi elements in the 80s and what they were able to do there. Schwarzenegger is one of the all-time great action stars. That was a great setup to the world. And then Terminator 2 was like, okay, you guys already know the world. We're just going to fucking go balls to the wall from the first frame.
It reminds me of the relationship between Predator and Predator 2.
Yeah.
Like in Predator, they're in the woods.
I agree with that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're in the woods. But then you say, what would happen if he came into a city?
Right.
And now this Predator is hunting humans in a city.
Right.
And you have the gang element. So I thought.
I agree with that.
I don't know if I consider the second Predator better than the first, but I love that character.
I love both of them, and I agree with that analogy.
No, it's very interesting.
But Terminator 2, Judgment Day, is my number two.
Dude, that's an excellent choice.
Thanks,
well done. I'm pretty proud of you.
So. Thank you.
Yeah. Now,
Thank you, sir.
I think your view of Back to the Future 2 is off, but I'm proud of you now.
And American Pie. We disagreed today. What the fuck's going on? It's our anniversary show.
Aw, this is like, you know, you wake up in the morning on your anniversary, you plan to take your wife out to dinner, but she just yells at you.
And then she looks at you. And says, never mind.
No, I don't want this.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't have that happening. All right, man. You're up for your runner-up. What's your
number
two?
Now, my number two comes from what I believe is the greatest trilogy of all time. Most people people I talk to do not like this movie. And the reasons they don't like it is the reason it's on this list, and I love it so much. Once again, this is a trilogy I would never, ever, 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 ever watch unless I'm watching the whole thing. I actually I've seen this trilogy more than any other trilogy I've ever seen. I watch it once every probably 2 years. I go through the whole thing. The first one, iconic. It's a movie in itself. I'd say 3 out of 5 people like it. 3 out of 5, maybe even more. Maybe 4 out of 5 people love this movie. The second one took those themes and they drug them deeper. Mm-hmm. And that's why most people don't like it. They can't follow. But for my mind, I'm in, and I'm in the whole time. It just gets better and better. Matrix Reloaded.
Bro, you're killing me with this. Matrix, so this is Reloaded. The third one. So you're telling me.
Matrix Reloaded.
Now, hold on a second.
Yes.
You're telling me The Matrix Reloaded, yep, is a better film than the 99 Matrix.
Now, once again.
Or that you enjoy it more.
I am not glued. I am not Elmer glued to this idea that I'm sticking to the second one.
Okay, so you're just picking.
It's hard for me because I consider the whole trilogy one movie. I think the second one took the first one and drug it deeper.
Sure.
But you know what? If you want to nitpick and whatever, as individual entities, yes, the second one's even better.
No,
the second one is what we call the path of Neo. It begins with him.
Yeah.
With him, it's enlightened. Very, but he doesn't know what to do with that. So he follows the Oracle. He goes on this path and ends up where the path of the one ends. And then they blow your mind saying, well, this was orchestrated from the beginning. This is the path of the one. We designed it this way. Now, what are you going to do with it?
So what,
it's a great movie.
That's okay. So what I'm asking is because, and I wasn't trying to be funny, but there are kind of two schools of thought for this list. So the school of thought I went is I would never name Reloaded, even though I love it, because I don't enjoy it more than the original.
See, I've never
watched the other
one.
School of thought is that you're just picking the best movies that you enjoy that happen to be sequels.
Yes.
Not necessarily that they're better.
Well, the best sequels in relation to the first one.
And it's interesting, and too, that you view them as one movie, really.
Yeah. No, I've never.
Which makes this list probably hard for you.
That's the thing. The trilogy is great, but the thing about Reloaded was everything that The Matrix did was wonderful. Their storyline about the awakening of Neo, the idea of them, you're talking about iconic ideas, the idea of The Matrix, which goes back to, what's the philosopher's name? Descartes, Rene Descartes. The idea of The Matrix, all that, the characters, Morpheus, it takes all that, and you're like, what else can you do with this? Then they come out with Reloaded, and you're like, You at the end of Reloaded, your mind is blown. Right.
What did you think of the third one?
Even better. Like, they just get better and better. Now, the third one is the war, is the culmination of, like, the war involved.
The third one was the weakest.
Yeah, I just think it's one big arc. It just gets better.
You heard
better
they announced better, a four, better. Right?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Because I love trilogies. This trilogy was perfect.
Well, the Wachowskis are on board, the original filmmakers. Keanu is on board.
Yeah.
Carrie Ann Moss, Trinity's on board.
Well, it's weird because
so I'm ready.
Keanu and Carrie Ann both died in the third one. Now, Neo, Keanu, is an incarnation of the one. He's actually the seventh incarnation. So to have him come back, that's obvious. Of course he can come back.
Yeah.
Now, Carrie Ann Moss, she's a human and she died. So I wonder how that's going to play out. Is it going to be a prequel or whatever?
I don't know if it'll be like the flashback or
but
whatever.
I mean, The themes present involved. Matrix Reloaded took it to such a different level that I say 4 out of 5 people don't like it because it goes too deep. Like,
I get it.
What's going on here? But I love it.
I
love
it. It's
his when he goes to see the Oracle, his conversations with the Oracle and bending the spoon. And actually, is that the first one? That might be the first one.
No, I think it's the second one.
His conversations with
the
Oracle.
He doesn't see the Oracle in the first one.
Does he? No, he sees the Oracle in the first one.
I don't think he does.
Because
does he?
The Oracle tells him he's not the one.
In the first one?
Yeah, he goes to see the Oracle. That's the spoon bending. And then the second one, his conversation with the Oracle and the evolution of Smith. Smith, who's the villain of the first one, becomes this ethereal villain in the second one, who's trying to destroy the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes so much. Like, talk about the rabbit hole. The first one is about the rabbit hole. Like, oh, look at the rabbit hole. The second one is how deep do you think this thing can go?
Right. Okay, well, good pick, man. I mean, I do love the Matrix series.
Man.
You know, in the new
Reloaded.
In the new year, we're going to do our top 5 opening
and
scenes.
And honestly, to be fair to you, when I was picking this list, I never once thought in my head, okay, as an individual entity, is this movie better than the first one?
Okay.
That never really crossed my
mind.
Well,
that's the avenue I took, and you look at them as all one body of work, so that makes it interesting to see what we pick.
Yes, it's
all right. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of regular listeners that are going to be surprised by my number one. I don't think you will be either. It's another superhero movie, but it's from 2008, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight
is my number one. This is in my top 10 movies of all time.
Yeah,
it is definitely my favorite superhero movie of all time.
That's
or
a great
comic
movie.
Book movie of all time. It's also one of the best villain movies of all time.
Oh, the
and
best.
We talked about that on our superheroes episode a few months ago.
I think did we do top five villains with Michael?
We did, yeah.
Yeah,
with
so
Michael. No. We did superhero with Michael.
Okay.
We did villains, just you and I.
I think Heath Ledger was my number one villain, or was Darth Vader. I think Heath Ledger was one, Darth Vader was two.
Yep. Same here, actually, I think. I think, or maybe it was flip flopped, I can't remember. But The Dark Knight from 2008 is a crime thriller, okay?
Yeah.
That has Batman in it.
Yeah.
It's a Joker movie that Batman is in the background. Yeah. Heath Ledger won the Academy Award for this.
Posthumous?
Just became the Joker, bro.
Look what I did to this city with a few drums of gas and a couple of bullets. Hmm? You know what I noticed? Nobody panics when things go according to plan. Even if the plan is horrifying. If tomorrow I tell the press that, like, a gangbanger will get shot, or a truckload of soldiers will be blowing up, nobody panics, because it's all part of the plan. But when I say that one little old mare will die, well, then everyone loses their minds. Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos? It's fear. You live. You die. Now we're talking.
Now, Joaquin Phoenix is going to be portraying the Joker in the new iteration, so I'm interested to see that, because Joaquin's a great actor.
Yeah.
And I think he'll bring something different to it.
When I see the trailers, it has a different level of insanity. Yeah. It's almost filmed insanely.
Right.
To, like, you almost feel sorry for him in the trailers, and, like, you think, well, this is a broken man, of course he did this. Heath Ledger was manic insane.
Right.
But also in a way that an anarchist. And I love that about Heath Ledger's character, is that I think the true Joker, in my mind, is an anarchist. Like, he believes in anarchy.
Right.
That's what he believes in. Like he has a great scene with Batman in the
interrogation room,
and where he talks about, you know, don't look at them. They're not like you and I.
Right.
You and I exist above the law.
Right.
You and I exist above. Like, they talk about their morality, but I'm going to show you what happens when their thin morality goes out the window.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, he's the best, man. And
that action.
Rest in peace. You know, gone way too soon. But
you want to know how I got these scars?
It's great.
I mean, it's great.
It's great, man. So, the Dark Knight.
Dude. That's
great. My number one. I mean, you're not surprised by that, right?
I'm shocked.
Nah, I figured.
Yeah.
I figured you would know that I would at least put it on my list. Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of my all-time favorite movies, man. And and that came out 11 years ago, and I haven't seen, and this includes all the MCU stuff.
Yeah.
I know you love Endgame and all that. I haven't seen a movie that I've been as impressed with that was comic book based since The Dark Knight.
Dude,
I mean, the opening scene, the bank heist, the introducing us to the Joker by having these off characters kind of narrate his, like,
let me
reputation,
guess. You were supposed to kill me. No, the bus driver.
Yeah. Why does he wear clown makeup? You know, he dresses up like a clown. You know, and they're kind of like giving these comments to kind of introduce us to the Joker. And it's just great, man. And the scene with 18 Wheeler flipping over. Just an awesome movie.
He's wonderful.
Awesome movie. Yeah. So that's my number one, man. Which, guess what? We're up to your number
now,
one.
So I think this episode in specific, our episode together talking to you is so great because we went two completely different routes.
We did, really.
So when I'm thinking about trilogies, I'm thinking about the second one in a trilogy, the second one following the first one that expanded on the first one, that took it to a different level. Now, I'm talking about a movie number two. The first movie was wonderful. It changed the world.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it could have just been left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't have spawned what it did today. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and break the seal and tell you what it is. But then I'm going to tell you why. When Star Wars came out, it was not Episode 4 A New Hope. It was just Star Wars.
Right.
And people were like, this is pretty cool. They didn't think it would do that good. They only released it at very few theaters around the world. You know, he didn't have a big budget. He did great. People are like, it's a great movie. Now, if that had been left alone, it would have been what we would call a cult classic.
Sure, yeah.
Star Wars, a cult
Space
classic.
Opera, sure.
Then Empire Strikes comes back. The Empire Strikes Back. I just can't even say it. I'm so excited. Empire Strikes Back is what turned Star Wars into a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, sure.
Empire Strikes Back is what cemented this. Oh, when people sit back and go, oh, wait. This is going to be something.
Yeah, sure.
This is not just a cult classic. This is going to be one of the biggest
franchises
of all
time. I want to see these characters' development, right?
I've talked to a lot of diehard fans. More often than not, Empire Strikes Back is one of their favorite movies.
Yeah, same here.
My brother's a diehard fan, loves that. The character development, the storyline itself.
Yeah, sure.
The fight, the iconic, when he meets
reveal,
Vader.
Bro.
The reveal. You meet Yoda?
One of the most
iconic.
When
he meets Yoda, and Yoda had... You start to learn
and if I could just
about what the Force is if and I could Han just, Solo and Sky City. And
if I could just interrupt for 1 second, they'll let you pick back up. But I mean, that reveal, bro. I'm your father.
I'm your father.
I mean, this is a spoiler-free time.
And it was
in the 80s.
And you don't even think about this. It was revealed before it was revealed. When he went into what we call the Force Nexus,
yeah,
on Dagobah, he's training. And he, of course, looks into the little darkness there, the cave, and goes, what's in there? And Yoda says, only what you take with you.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks in. Vader approaches him, cuts off Vader's head, the face explodes, and he sees his own face. At the time, you don't know what that means.
Right.
So it's setting you up,
right,
which makes the reveal even better.
Don't make me destroy you. Luke, you do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training with our combined strength. We can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
You know, I had a guest on a couple of months ago, and we did our top five movie fights, and I named Vader versus Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back.
Vader's just throwing things at him with the Force.
Yeah, just that reveal, father versus son, and that,
very impressive.
It's great, man.
Yes.
You know, this is the one I was talking about earlier that I specifically, well, for a couple reasons, I was almost positive you would name
Empire Strikes Back.
And I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
But The Force Awakens is why I wanted to give that a little bit of love, because it kind of brought back. That what you're talking about,
and honestly,
it brought back the
interestingly enough, you say Force Awakens because it brought it back. I say Empire because it brought it. I think Empire Strikes Back is where Star Wars became
really
Star Wars
blew up. Right.
Like, I think this is what made it like, oh, this is gonna last forever.
I get it, man.
You know, I think that's the movie, because it's also, I want to say George Lucas didn't direct it either.
I don't think so.
I'm thinking that it was, and also it's like George Lucas handing it over to a director that. I mean, George Lucas is a wonderful mind, but some say he's not a great director.
Right.
A lot of people say that.
But I mean, pretty much everyone alive says it.
Well, also because, I mean, it's his baby. You can't direct your baby.
Yeah, exactly.
He puts baby in a corner.
Exactly.
You know, but...
wait a minute, Dirty Dancing? Van and Ice.
I mean, Empire... Yeah, exactly. Right. That's on there. Footloose 2. But I think Empire Strikes Back, like, we think about Star Wars Day as a global phenomenon.
Sure.
In my opinion... Empire Strikes Back is what made it that phenomenon. Empire Strikes Back says,
Man, you don't have to convince me. And we got a lot of shout outs online. It's one of the greatest sequels of all time. It probably is this probably exists like at the American Film Institute or something like that, but it probably is the number one sequel of all time.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you were going to name it. I wanted to do another Star Wars Force Awakens. And I told you kind of why I felt like it kind of brought back the nostalgia for me.
And I love it because it also
finally enjoyed it again.
It fits in my line of thinking too.
Yeah.
Because it took this first one up a notch. It deepened the characters. It deepened the themes. And it's a part of a trilogy. So it's like, it's part of a nineology.
All right. So let me wrap up my five.
I'm not going to be able to remember mine. Okay.
Are you being serious?
No, okay.
So my five were, my number five was Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Got it.
My number four was Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Beautiful.
Dream Warriors. My number three was Spider-Man 2. My number two runner-up was Terminator 2, Judgment Day. And my number one was The Dark Knight.
Beautiful. My number five was American Pie 2. My number four was Toy Story 2. My number 3 was Back to the Future 2. My number 2 was Matrix Reloaded. And my number 1 was The Empire Strikes Back.
There it is. Nice list. And, you know, I'm glad we kind of got it out in the open because
I'm also glad you disagreed. You basically yelled at me the whole time.
No. Because
you were very mean to me this episode.
Our approaches were different.
So different.
Which is, makes for an interesting, when you're having crossover.
Yeah.
Because if I was approaching it the way you did, my list would be very, very different. But see, I approached it where if I enjoy the original better, I didn't put it on my
list.
You
have to know that I'm such a huge fan of trilogies. Like, I love,
no, I hear it.
I love the I love the three movie arc. And that's also one of the reasons I'm so nervous about The Matrix, because that's my favorite trilogy of all time. No,
you were saying that about Toy Story 4 as well.
I feel nervous. No. Like, don't take me out of that. But then again, American Reunion did it. I was like, dude, this is great.
And when you see Toy Story 4, you're going to be like, wow, this is fucking great.
Okay. Of course it's going to be great. You know.
All right, so.
And The Matrix 4, if the Wachowskis are on board, of course it's going to be great.
Let's do it, man. So, honorable mentions. You got any? What sequels did you not name in your top 5?
I think definitely Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not. I'm so predictable. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Okay,
Lord of the Rings 1 was epic. Lord of the Rings 2 was epic times infinity. Out of the three, I'm gonna take your approach. Out of the three Lord of the Rings movie, The Two Towers is the best by far.
No idea. No idea. I watched an hour of the first one and I'm like, I'm done.
The battle at Helm's Deep. Are you kidding me? Saruman's army marches on Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
Is
the Two Towers the one that won all the Academy Awards? Or was it the third one?
The third one did, because they're basically giving him for the
Because they knew it was over.
Return of the King.
Right, okay.
But dude, the second one is where it's at. That's the best movie.
All right. Well, let's go. So I'll round up my top 10 real quick. So my number 6 would have been Aliens.
The
sequel to Aliens.
Dude, that was a great movie.
Another Aliens, or another 80s film, and very scary. It took the lore and the buildup from the first one, and basically just for an hour and a half, you were just scared.
Because in the first one, you had the one alien getting loose. Now you're going to the place where the aliens live.
Right, right. My number 7 would have been Superman 2, which I've talked about before, the Richard Donner cut.
Okay.
It's the sequel with the three villains that come in.
Yes. And, you love that movie.
What's the fucking...
General Zod.
Wow. Why did I forget that?
General Zod.
Come, son of Jor-El, kneel before Zod.
If I have another child, Superman a boy, 2. I'm going to name him General Zod.
My number 8 would have been Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Oh!
Which, to date, is my favorite MCU film.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Even after all the Infinity
another good
Wars
one,
and all
Thor
that
Ragnarok.
That's my number 9.
Wait, no, that's,
that's my number 9.
See, I couldn't do it because it's the third one. That's the third
How'd
one.
How'd you know that was my number 9?
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
So my next one is Thor.
There's Thor Dark World, and there's Thor Ragnarok. By far the best one.
Yeah, yeah. And then my number 10 would have been Toy Story 3, which we already talked about.
I don't know. It's hard for me to do threes, man. I just can't, you know.
Well, I hear that.
Because there's not sequels.
I hear that.
Yeah, but I understand.
So I'll tell you what we're going to do, man. We're going to head over to social media open up the suggestion box. There we go.
You said what's in the box?
What's in the box?
You didn't do it last time either.
Did I forget last time as well?
We opened up an empty box last time.
So listen, let's see. Favorite sequels over on social media in the suggestion box. We'll start over on the fan page on Facebook. Love those guys. Tony Dobbish. He's got Terminator 2 and Godfather Part 2. Did you ever get into the Godfather films?
I never did. I've heard from many people that Godfather Part 2 is one of the best movies of all time.
Godfather 2 is definite. Well, I won't say definitely because some people probably disagree with me. But in my opinion, it is the best of the series.
Okay.
Godfather
There's three
Part
of them.
It's yeah, a trilogy. Three official.
I gotta watch it. It's a trilogy. Yeah.
Let's see. Colby Mack, recent guest on our show, a great dude. Here's his 5. He's got Batman Returns. Which is a direction we didn't go in.
I remember enjoying that thoroughly because this I went to see it in the theater.
Yeah, the Tim Burton kind of
Penguin, Catwoman,
dude, Catwoman,
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Bro,
when she first she comes out hopping and skipping, hopping and skipping, and hopping and skipping, looks at them breathing heavily, and then goes meow, and the thing blows up. I mean, what a great introduction.
Yeah, he's also got. Well, he also put The Dark Knight, Winter Soldier, D2, Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
And then he's got Attack of the Clones, he named as one of his favorite sequels. So,
well, if you're comparing it to the original, like I guess in order, Attack of the Clones killed Phantom Menace.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, killed
That's
it.
True, yeah. All right, let's see. Dan from Netflix and Swill, we had a lot of crossover with him. Actually, both of us did. He's got The Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2, Winter Soldier, Return of the King. Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
He put as his. John Wick 3.
I haven't seen any John Wick movies, and I'm very upset.
I disagree with him on that because I think 2 was better than 3.
I'm
so,
very upset.
First of all, if he's saying that 3 is better than 1, then he needs to get off the crack pipe. The first one is a classic, and I'll tell Dan that to his face because we're good buddies. And then the last one on his top 5 would have been Mad Max Fury Road, which I agree with. That was amazing to revisit that lore from the 80s. The recent Mad Max.
Now, is that a reboot or a second?
No, it's like a continuation.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Major League 2?
How about this? Yeah, Major League 2 is great. Yeah. Now, Dan's buddy over at Netflix and Swill, Caleb, commented this week. How about this? I love this. So he's got two. He's got The Rescuers Down Under.
Hey, okay.
And Fievel Goes West.
Okay, Fievel.
Follow-up to American Tale.
Now, when Fievel went west, I mean, things change.
Yeah.
When Fievel's heading west.
Tony Vandenbush.
Okay.
I love saying Tony Vandenbush. She's got Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan.
My brother's favorite Star Trek
movie. Grandma took me to see that in the theater.
Dude, Wrath of Khan, people love that movie.
That is a classic, brother. Yeah. And I agree that it was better than the original theatrically. Yeah. Paul from The Countdown's got Aliens, The Dark Knight, Terminator 2, Friday the 13th Part 6, which is Jason Lives. That's a lot of people's kind of favorite I don't know. I like the second one. I like Friday the 13th Part 2, but I get it. And then he's got Mission Impossible Fallout.
Okay.
All right. And then Lauren, we talked about her before. Lauren from Disney and from former.
Hey, Lauren, how are you? Girl,
she used to work with us. I thought
she's wonderful.
I thought this was great.
She embodies Disney. She is awesome. Disney.
Like, she's a walking Disney princess.
She's a living Disney princess. When I met her, I'm like, you're a Disney princess.
You actually are.
Who drew you? Who drew you? I want to know.
Yeah, you're not really here, are you? Princess Diaries 2.
Okay.
My kids
love that movie.
She went with it. She said the original was wonderful, but I actually prefer the sequel. It's so much fun. And then the last mention over on the Facebook fan page is our friend Becca. She's got Dark Knight, Godfather 2, Before Sunset, Mad Max, Fury Road, and 23 Jump Street. Did you ever see the Jump Street movies? No. They're great, man.
Now, tell me this. I want to get your opinion. What did you think about The Incredibles 2?
Oh, loved it.
I didn't think it was better than the first one. No, I didn't think it was nowhere near it.
No, no shot.
I liked it. But, I mean, I cried in the first one.
Yeah, the original was just one of the... I put it on my superhero list, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yep. All right, let's see. Anthony Procopio over on Twitter says The Empire Strikes Back.
And he
shares a gif of Luke saying that's impossible when he finds out it's his father. Let me scroll down here a little bit. Gremlins 2, the Rick and Morty podcast.
All right.
Said Gremlins 2. I happen to agree with that. I think that was a great follow-up. Our buddies over at So I Married a Movie Geek also said Aliens.
People like Aliens.
That is a good one.
I don't know. Game over, man.
I kind of like them both the same.
Do you?
They're kind of tied. The Nomcast over on Twitter says, obviously, Terminator 2. How about this? Kelly, the faves of our lives over on Twitter said Hotel Transylvania 2.
I saw the first one. I never saw the second one. I liked the first one a lot.
I saw all of them. I don't know.
There's three of them, right?
I probably prefer the original. Another shout out for D2, the Mighty Ducks 2. The True Crime Cast.
Come on. The Mighty Ducks go to play in like the Olympics? That's crazy.
The True Crime Cast over on Twitter. Sean Layton on Twitter says Friday the 13th Part 2, which is the one I said was my favorite.
Okay. A true sequel. Well done.
He says better characters, better pacing, kills, and it's just more fun. The original is great, but Part 2 is superior. I agree with him on all counts. With that one. Word Salad Radio over on Twitter shared a gif of Logan. It came out a couple years ago in the X-Men franchise.
Okay, yeah.
I could see that. Also X2 with the opening scene with Nightcrawler in the White House.
Yeah, I thought X2 was better than X1.
I did too.
I only saw 1 and 2, maybe 3.
I think X2 would be a strong sequel to put on this list as well. And then I'll wrap up with this because I want you to know that there's some people out there that are with you. Let's see. The Watchers Pod over on Twitter says Back to the Future 2. And
see,
they shared a gif.
I'm not the only one.
They shared a gif of Michael J. Fox putting on the sneakers. And I want to show you the gif that I put up.
I know. He's in the future. He goes to an alternative path. He's all over the place.
I want to show you the gif I put up when he said that right here. I mean, basically going, what the fuck?
Dude.
I don't know.
Now, the first one's a classic.
But again,
I was going on merely based on it, better than the original.
All right, man. So give us a wrap up of your final thought for this episode, which was, by the way, guys, our 3-year show, episode 88. We've been doing this for 3 years, me and Andy. I don't know if that incorporates into your final thought there, but what's your final thought for episode 88?
If it incorporates 3 years, you know what? If you're in a relationship and you don't know why, just stick it out. I mean, you may...
That's your final thought.
Like, the person you're with may just have a really crappy life, and you're like the only sunshine in it, so... Yeah. No, I mean, check it out. Gerald, I want you to listen. You never listen to my final thoughts. I want you to listen. Every day of your life is a sequel.
Yeah.
Every day is a sequel to the last day.
Yeah.
And every day can be better than the last day. Even if you're going through bad stuff, even if you're suffering, you grow every day. Your life deepens every day because you experience more every day. Today is always the sequel of yesterday. Treat it like that.
Yeah.
Take it up a notch. Take it up a notch. You know what I'm saying? Treat today as the sequel of yesterday. It can get better. I mean, you can get deeper. You can understand life a little more. You can give and love a little more. To say, what did I do yesterday and how can I deepen that?
I love it, brother. Yeah. I love you. I love it. I love you.
Except Gerald, who's in the final days of
life. I don't think I'm going to have it. Part 3, brother. I think this is it. All right, so that's it for episode 88, guys. We'll be back next time. You know, next time we're doing top 5 TV sitcom characters.
That's crazy.
That is going to be a tough one, brother. That's going to be a tough one. My initial list was like 20 characters.
Yeah.
So I know I got to figure
it out. It was hard for me now. I don't watch a lot of sitcoms.
I got to figure something out.
You know, so,
but you have, though.
I've seen them. Yes, yeah, I've seen a situation comedy or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it, guys. We'll see you next time. Andy, thank you.
I'll be here next time.
All right, baby. Hang tight.
You're my sequel.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.